I wasn't going to get up here and cry. I'm so overwhelmed with everything that's been going on. It's incredible. Between the Torah portions week after week, going to each other's houses and sharing with one another whatever things we're going through, because we don't know what's going on in each individual's life. We're all taking care of our own. So that's why I said we got to gather together. We gather together at somebody's house on Thursday nights. And we share. Somebody asked me, hey, how's the wedding going? Well, we got these ups and downs in there. Oh, we thought everything was perfect. No, it's not. And we share our hearts. And then somebody says, hey, I've had a lot of doubt today. You know, Sister Sabrina, I'm struggling. Do y'all struggle like this? Do y'all get these things thrown at y'all? I said, yes, on a daily basis. And the word came and said, hey, in Revelations, he says that the enemy comes to make war with the saints. And I was telling Sister Sabrina, ever since... You know, Brother Herman even touched on it tonight. It's very important that we understand who our adversary is. Because I think about it all the time since he said that. I just picture things in my mind to remind me that every day I wake up and I'm about my business, he's standing by my side with his sword drawn. You up to par today? You ready? The enemy's right there ready. Because he's ready to take you out. Go ahead. I'm ready. You know, just a little leaven. We've been talking about that. Just a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And his plan and plots is through deception. Deception starts with just a little leaven. When we just disobey the commandments just a little bit, all it takes is us getting focused on, remember the scriptures where it talks about in the commandments about don't covet what somebody else has? Don't look at other people, who has more or who has less. I went through that trouble a couple years back. Most of y'all know that testimony. And so we as brothers and sisters and have pastors and leaders come to say, hey, you got a trouble here. You need to fix this and adjust it. All it takes is one little piece of leaven and the enemy jumps in there and he starts twisting your mind. And the deception twists your mind to you believing a lie. And it's not even real. But to you, because you took the leaven and then you didn't catch it or repent or pay attention, it goes a little bit further and it goes a little bit more leaven and a little bit more, and it snowballs to where you're believing that it's everybody else and everything else and it's not me at all. I'm good, but it's everybody else that's against me. And the enemy pulls you away and gets you away from everything that's true and that's real and keeps you in this. It's not even real. It's a big deception. And it plagues the church like crazy. Every time somebody gets offended, focus on somebody else, what they're doing. And what he told us to do, hey, we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. On our own individual personal relationship, but... We've been going through this Galatians series, and I'll tell you, this Galatians series has been saving my life, every corner that I turn, because it really focused on the commandments. Because he says, sacrifice I don't require, you know. But there's some other things that the obedience to his commandments. Yeshua said, you love me, you obey my commandments. And you know, a lot of times I've read scriptures in there where you love the Father, you would do this or that. You love Yeshua, Jesus, you know, certain things that you would say and do. But that love word just recently clicked when I'm like, oh, he loves me. That's why he gave me these commandments, because he loves me. If I don't obey the commandments, I get deceived. I'm destroyed and I'm lost, separate from him forever. So his commandments is his love towards me. So that's why he said, you love me, you obey my commandments. Obeying his commandments is our love towards him. That's how we love him, because he loves us. And that's what the commandments is for. And so we've been into Yom Teruah. And leading up to Yom Teruah, all the feast days. And I was doing a study, and I was going through all... There's so many Yom Teruah and Feast of Trumpets series and so many things to try and absorb and talk about. And I sat down, and And the Lord took me in this direction I'm going to go in. And you'll see how it all fits. But just like in a bunch of the Torah series, I mean not the Torah, Yom Teruah series, you'll hear Pastor talk about, you know, he said tradition is not an accurate measurement for truth. And when you line it up with what the children of Israel went through in Egypt for 400 years, there's a lot of stuff that got buried. And over 2,000 years since Yeshua's time to now, a lot of stuff's gotten buried. The enemy's been doing his job, like Rahim was talking about, twisting the truth, continually changing the times, twisting the word through religions, traditions. Talked about it today, over 60-something million dollars in the Rapture series and all these books and all these movies, constantly keeping us from the real truth. And so a lot of truth has been buried and covered. And another scripture that stuck out this year that we talked about was about the sand and about digging in the sand and getting to the rock. It takes more than just the sand. You got to dig really deep. And we'll get into that. It's all in there. I'm going to go ahead of myself. But for 400 years and generations, the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt in an ungodly world system. Over 400 years of generations being around and influenced by the Egyptians' practices and other gods. Even after coming out of Egypt and all the incredible things that Yahweh did, showing his care and love for them, the miracles, his voice spoke on the mountain, they heard it. They had no water, no food. They relied solely on him to provide for everything, drawing them close and exposing who he is, his love for them with the commandments to keep them from being deceived, to test them to rid the evil and wicked ways out of their hearts, to be a people of righteousness whose ways should have reflected him. And on the journey through the wilderness, most of them died not changing their ways. And I've said all this to get us up to this part right here. But two out of the 12 rulers, and what brought this to my attention was Brother Josh. He's talking about Joshua. And we're talking about blowing the trumpet. And I drew an interest in going back to Joshua. Remember Joshua and Caleb? Those are two important guys to remember because they caught on to some stuff. But two out of the 12 rulers of the tribes of Israel saw differently. And we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13. Starting with 1 through 3. I'm going to go through just a few scriptures. We don't have time to go through chapters and chapters, but I'm just going to kind of touch on certain pieces. Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers. Shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them? And Moses, by the commandment of Yahweh, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the tribe of Israel. And go on over to verse 26 in the same chapter. And they went out and came to Moses. Now remember, it was one of every tribe of the rulers. They were all sent out, rulers of the tribes. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites, the Nephilim dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And we're going to look in Numbers chapter 14. It's a little bit over. Verses 1 through 11. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, if only that we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath Yahweh brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke unto the company of children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is exceeding good land. If Yahweh delight in us, that's what you got to focus on. If Yahweh delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against Yahweh, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and Yahweh is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of Yahweh appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation for all the children of Israel. You got two men that obeyed the commandments of God, that were close to him, just like a husband and a wife know each other really well. They were close. The other ones kept doing the opposite. There's two sides of the story. You get blinded in deception. And when you get blinded in deception, you get full of fear, you're afraid, everything's against you, you're worried because you're on your own. You have no defender. Joshua and Caleb had a defender. They had Yahweh, the Most High. They stuck it out with him. They stayed close to him. They obeyed his commandments. They paid attention. And they got themselves ready always. There's just something about Yahweh's commandments, right? There's just something about them. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, one through 15. And Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also Yahweh has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Yahweh thy Elohim, he will go over before thee. Before, didn't we say that in the song? Before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as Yahweh hath said, and Yahweh shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and to the land of them which he destroyed. And Yahweh shall give them up before your face, and that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong. And you see this reflect in Joshua again. When you go through the book of Joshua, it says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For Yahweh thy Elohim, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong. And of a good, this is a parallel of coming into the age of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which Yahweh has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And Yahweh, here it is that doeth go before. Do you understand way, way back through all the wilderness and everything he was recruiting? And he got two that would listen. You got to listen. Listen and obey his commandments. Don't let any leaven in. Because you will be deceived. And then you'll be chanting, we need this and we need that. Because you're not paying attention to what he said in his commandments. And Yahweh it is that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law. Something about laws, isn't it? And he wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of Yahweh unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, and when all Israel is come to appear before Yahweh, thou Elohim, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all of Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, the men and the women and the children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear Yahweh Elohim and observe to do all the words of this law. All the words of this law. And that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear Yahweh. I worked so hard, me and my wife, to raise my daughter Mariana. Even when people are saying, you know, it's just you got to raise them the best way you can. You know, sometimes they'll just veer off. But all my heart and all my life, I said, I'm not going to believe that. I want to keep her from the things that are in the world. I want to try my best to keep feeding this to her and feeding this to her. We got to homeschool her, do whatever it takes to keep her out of the junk and the mess. And when everybody else says, well, you know, you just got to do this. And there is no compromise in this game. It is even a game. It's reality. This is life and death. You sow the wrong seeds, shame on us. We have to sow the right seeds. There is no compromise. It is or it isn't. Because once you have deception sown in, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Yahweh Elohim, as long as ye live in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it. And Yahweh said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And Yahweh appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud. And a pillar of cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, it came to pass that Yahweh spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, ministering, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I give unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide inheritance in the land, which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand, nor to the left. Didn't David say that quite a few times? And didn't they say it further on down into the Brit Hadishah, into the New Testament? Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Just keep focus on this right here, that thou mayest prosper wherever you go. And the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. David said in Psalms, blessed is the man who doesn't counsel with the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is upon the law of the Lord. And upon the law of the Lord he meditates day. When you wake up in the morning, Thank you, Father, for breath today. Yes. Day and night when you go to bed at night. Father, I made some mistakes today. Please forgive me. Thank you, Yeshua, for removing the leaven, that I can stay in contact with you, sealed with the ring, your Holy Spirit, so I can hear you. Because if you sin, he steps away and you can't hear anymore. And the enemy really comes in and really puts the deception there that's not real and not true. So it's so important to do what he says because he loves us. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? He said it again. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For Yahweh thy Elohim is with thee wherever you go. And then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, and the story goes on, but my main point was, obey the law. Listen to what he says. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And Yahweh said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that they make a long blast with the ram's horn. There's something about that horn, man. Every time I hear that blast, it's like something was hidden in my life that I never knew. And one day somebody just uncovered the dust. And reality sunk in. It's like, this is the real you. You know that? It sunk in. Pa-pa! It's like, wow. And when you hear that, it's incredible. You know the rest if you know the story. It says, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of Yahweh. And we're going to move on to verse 20, because we don't have time to read the whole chapter. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before, and took the city. The king's going to come when that horn blows, I'm telling you. Pa-pa. We got victory, redemption. The same thing. As it says in here. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young and old, and ox, sheep, and donkey with the edge of the sword. And I'm not going to finish reading the rest of that. So over a period, over 2,000 years, a lot of truth can be changed, covered, and twisted up. Go to Luke chapter 6. Verse 45. Remember, let's talk about that leaven? A little bit of leaven? And the two sides? Watch this in chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So we can grab all this knowledge all the day long and go out there and we'd be speaking something different out of the heart. The treasures of the heart speaks. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Obeying his commandments changes the heart. It changes the mindset learned from an evil and corrupt world system we live in. Luke chapter 6, a little further down in verses 46 through 49, it continues. Let's start with verse 46. And why call ye me master, Yeshua said, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep. We've been digging deep. Dig deep. And laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Digging past the sand. Keep digging and digging and digging. John chapter 14. I just picture that as we keep digging and digging and digging. There's another truth. There's another truth. Every message, Galatians series. The spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is in me. It's in my heart. When I go to do wrong, I'm going to be judged right there on the spot. It's up to me and my salvation with the Lord, right? A little more. Love me, you obey my commandments. John 14, 15 and 17. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. The closer you get to the Father, the more things he reveals to you, the more things you see. You try and tell that to somebody that's outside of that, they don't understand you. They don't hear you. It's not for them. Unless they want it. There was one day I wanted it. I thought I wanted something else. I wanted to get my marriage corrected with my wife and I and drugs and all the bad habits that I was doing. I come to get a quick fix and all of a sudden I got introduced to the Father. And I said, whoa, that's the Father. I never had a father on this earth because he died when I was just a couple of months old. So I looked up to my grandparents. I looked up to my uncles. But I never had a father that had the real truth. Everybody can give you scenarios and stories and traditions and religions. My mom, papa, this one, that one. And bring you to church and listen to the preacher that they listen to. But it ain't the way you go digging and looking for it for yourself. Remember, you got to fight the good fight of faith here. This is a fight for eternal life. I wanted to know the truth. And then after learning all that, then a lot of that was kind of not so right. But still, we stuck it out. And that's just what it is. To find out, what do you really want? Do you really want him or not? And so falling in love with him is the key. And the closer you get to him, the more he reveals to you. One who keeps sinning and disobeying will never see in the victorious redemption and promises of Yahweh. But for those who love him by obedience to his will, see differently. They have their minds sealed. In Ephesians chapter 1, through 14. Paul, an apostle of Yeshua Messiah, by the will of Yahweh, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Messiah Yeshua. Grace be to you and peace from Yahweh our Father, and from Master Yeshua Messiah. Blessed be the El and Father of our Master Yeshua, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Messiah, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having see, when you see love right there, it automatically clicks in me already. Obeying his commandments, that's my love towards him. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Yeshua Messiah to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery. See, there's no longer a mystery. The closer you get, the more you obey, the more you follow the instructions, the more clear the picture gets. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Messiah, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Messiah, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, in whom also after ye have believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It really sunk into me at this wedding here with my daughter and Tyreek. The ring, Holy Spirit, even Pastor speaking today about it. The Holy Spirit is the ring, the seal of promise. And so when I go wandering off and I go sinning and I get tempted to do something I'm supposed to do and I go and break a rule, it's almost like I done took my ring off. And you can't do that, because if you take the ring off, you're no longer his. You're back in the world and you're susceptible to anything from the enemy to twist and warp your mind and pull you away from truth. Maybe for a little while you might get back, but maybe you might not. Because I can attest to you, there's one named Saul, there's one named Judas. They didn't come back. There's two sides of the story. The one was after his heart. He went wandering off doing his own thing. The other one through bribery, money. Brother Herman talked about the money. Judas took the money. It was just a little bit. I got it in a message. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to it. I got so much here to read. But just a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. Because when you read the story of Judas, he went back to the Pharisees and Sadducees and says, I don't want it. I don't want it. I made a big mistake. I don't want it. What does that have to do with us? You did that. You took it. See, the enemy throws it at you. Somebody says, hey, come on, let's go do this. It won't hurt just a little bit. They're not the ones that's going to hurt. It's you that's going to hurt. It's me that's going to hurt when we take the bait. And so he went in the corner somewhere. As he was lost in his mind so much, he committed suicide. He killed himself. That's what it could lead you to. Saul killed himself with the sword. He saw all his kids dying. All that stuff snowballs and snowballs and snowballs. The enemy gets you right where he wants you. And it's so full of fear and worry and chaos and pride. I'm losing. My kids are dying. They all falling. And then just take the sword and just kill yourself. You're done. It's over. He's got you. It's a done deal. It's a real deal, and it goes on in the world every day. Killings every day. Every day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One through 11. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yahweh so comes as a thief in the night. See, there's the two sides again. It's a thief in the night for those who are not close to him. But for those who are close to him, they know. We know. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Deception will have people in chaos. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. See? Ye are all the children of light, and the children of light, we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunk are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For Yahweh hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Master Yeshua Messiah. We have a Redeemer, we have a King, Master Yeshua. He will return and he will guide us and lead us, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. That's why we go to Bible studies on Thursday night. Edify one another. Encourage one another. I don't know what you're going through. You may not know what I'm going through. So we come together on a Thursday night. We pull out the Torah. And somebody's leading the Torah and what they hear and learn. And somebody else, and somebody just breaks down crying. I'm going through this. Let me pray with you, brother. Let me pray with you, sister. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. Let me help. The minute somebody said something about Marianne and Tyreek getting married, my thoughts was like, wow, this is a little early. I haven't had a chance to put any savings in. My thoughts. I wanted this and I wanted that. And I'm just thinking and thinking and thinking. And the whole time, and Sister Gloria and Sister Connie and Sister Lynn and all these sisters and brothers all getting together, pastor going through all those hard studies to make sure it's right, because he's there to please the Father. And I'm sitting there worried about all kind of stuff, and all of a sudden when it gets down to it, and I start seeing the whole thing, I went out in that parking lot the day of the wedding, and I said, Lord, I said, I didn't even have a chance to ask. Not even a chance. You done put it right in front of me before I could even ask. I stayed in the thoughts and the worries and all that so much because of my way and the way I wanted to think it to go, that the whole time, what's the song? He's always working. He's always, how's that song go? You remember how it goes, Brother Jack? Even when you don't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. Yeah, that's the one. So I'm like, wow, he done did all this right before me. I was in awe. And then I sat down for this wedding, and I watched everything in a reflection of what's going to happen with us. Yom Teruah. Yes. And I got family members that say, I can't see a black man and a white girl getting married, racist. Somebody hurt my family and that family. I'm not even going. And they miss out on the most incredible thing that ever happened. Yeah. It's crazy. But you know what? Doesn't matter. I got the Father, and I'm in his plan, and I got children and another. Where they at? Where they went? I don't see them in here. Oh, okay. All right. Well. All right. So in verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Master, and admonish you. Yes. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I try so hard. It's not in my capability, or I don't know what it is, but I look at our pastors, and they've been anointed to do what they do. And so I just take it as a token to be able to pick up and listen to the Galatians series and honor that they study so hard to get this. It's my duty and my responsibility to be here for every message that I can. And if I'm at work, to make sure I get that message, because there was some hardcore digging, deeping, getting the knees skinned up, getting dirty to get to it, fighting lies of the enemy and deception and people putting you down and calling you stuff and listening to the Father when to say it and when not to say it, to hold it for 4 or 5 years. That's a lot. That is a lot. And how dare us be at home on a certain night saying, you know what, I'm tired. Tired? What do you mean tired? I get home from fishing all day long and I'm on the boat for a Thursday night or a Saturday or whatever. I'm on the boat, I'm thinking, I got a few minutes that I can make it. I jump in the shower, I get dressed, I'll be there just the last half hour. I got to get there to get to the message. I want to show myself approved to the Father that I'm interested in His message. It's not Jesse's, Pastor Jesse's or Brother Josh's, it's His message. It's His message to me, say, hey, you need this. You're going to need this because Hasatan's going to come out tomorrow and he's going to throw this at you. And if you don't pay attention, I'm telling you, look around. There's a couple that's not here, you'll be just like them. So pay attention. You will go out of your way to make a dollar of money for the bills. You know, but what about my message? All this stuff is going to go away. What about me? He talks about the food and bread. But His word is more important than any of that too. Yeshua proved that for 40 days and 40 nights. He lived in the power of the Father. His word, that's what He lived on to make it through that. In Psalms chapter 1, I kind of quoted it a little while ago. I know it by heart all the way up to the last two verses. And for probably about 20 years, I've known Psalms chapter 1 up to those last two verses. And I just went there and I read it, and the last two verses stuck out to me. I just never did memorize them. Psalms chapter 1. It says in starting in verse 4, the unrighteous are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yahweh knows, there's that knowing again. You know the times, the days, the seasons, and the years. You know what's going on with the feast days. Brother Herman talked about everything leading up to that. We got to know this. He says, for Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the unrighteous shall perish. There's a way that seems right to a man, and its end is death. And it's a very terrible, deceiving thing that man goes through because they don't pay attention and listen. Matthew 24, verses 40 through 47. We've talked about this before, but this goes in. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake. Keep that in mind as I'm reading. He said it twice, stay awake. And will not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. Yom is the day. Teruah is the trumpets, the shout, a day of new beginning, redemption, a war sound, triumph and victory. The dead in Christ will raise, and the bride and the bridegroom meet. the reality of not seeing but believe comes to pass. Joel chapter 2. I've been itching to get to this one for the last couple of days. I love Joel chapter 2 because it's got part of that song in it. They rush in the city, they run on the walls. It's in Joel. You notice I'm doing something, Brother Josh? I got away from the electronics a little bit. You talked about that a little bit last night, didn't you? All right, Joel chapter 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of Yahweh comes, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloom, gloomness, a day of clouds and thick darkness as the morning. But that's not for his. The gloom and darkness is for those that's not underneath his shadow of protection. Upon the mountains, a great people and strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land, you got to pay attention to this part. You got to read it about 10 times. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. They see ahead. It turns into the Garden of Eden ahead of them. And all the sinners and all the ones who don't want to turn, behind them, they leave behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. That's the part that's so false about rapture. They get burned up. But the men of Yahweh come on through in the Garden of Eden, straight ahead, all the way through. All the kingdom, the new age comes in. And everything else that's not tied into Yahweh gets burned up. That's what I picture when I read this. The appearance of them is like the appearance of horses. And as horsemen, so they shall run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops. They're ready. They are ready for battle. On the tops of the mountain shall they leap like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march everyone on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. It's pretty unique and incredible. Everyone is set and staged to do. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. Remember the song? They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And Yahweh shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of Yahweh is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Therefore, I always remember the word therefore is what you just read, referring to. Therefore also now saith Yahweh, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto Yahweh Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even at meat offering, a drink offering unto Yahweh your Elohim. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. That kind of sounds like Yom Kippur. We got to get ready. We got to get atoned. He gives, you know, it's always been crazy to always think those crazy traditions and religions always told us in a blink of an eye, this and that, heaven and hell and all this craziness. And right here, his loving kindness, even after the return of Messiah, gives another chance. His mercy and his grace, he still gives another opportunity to change, to turn to him. He gives another chance of opportunity. It's not like, boom, it's over. He gives another little. I love his mercy and his grace. Another merciful act of grace from Yahweh through Yom Kippur, an atonement. Another chance to turn. Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. The word of Yahweh which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, the king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, says Yahweh. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off the stumbling blocks of the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith Yahweh. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. And the name of the cherubims with the priests. And them that worship the hosts of heaven upon the housetops. And them that worship and that swear by Yahweh and that swear by Malcolm. And them that are turned back from Yahweh, and those that have not sought Yahweh nor inquired for him. Hold thy peace at the presence of my sovereign Yahweh, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. For Yahweh hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of Yahweh's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such are clothed with strange apparel. And the same day also I will punish all those that leap on the threshold. Which fill their masters' houses with violence and deceit. It shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, a howling from the second, and great crashing from the hills. Howl, you inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass that that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and punish the men that are settled on their leaves, that say in their heart, Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of Yahweh is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the noise of the day of Yahweh. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, distress, a day of wasteness, desolation, a day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk blind, like blind men, because they have sinned against Yahweh, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Yahweh's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. He is powerful, he is incredible, and nobody's going to stop his times and his seasons and what he's going to do. Again, disobedience causes a great deception on the eyes of the believer. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It blinds the spiritual eyes. A little twist to God's commandments gives a different picture. Yom Teruah going into Yom Kippur should cause us to repent and obey because he loves us. I got so much more to go through. I don't know how much time I got. Woo! I'm not going to ask if anybody wants to give me 5 minutes. Only had 3 more chapters. But there were some laws concerning warfare, and we talked a lot about that. So there's this word that the church needs to pay attention to. I got this word during sometime during the week. And it was about a bribe. God hates a bribe. And it was in Deuteronomy 16. It stuck out. I mean, it really stuck out. It says in Deuteronomy 16:19, "You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. You shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that Yahweh your Elohim has given you." I looked up the word bribe. Is the act of giving or receiving something of value in exchange for some kind of influence or action in return that the recipient would otherwise not alter. And I put the question, alter what? Alter God's commandments. It alters God's commandments. Subvert means to undermine power and authority of an established system. Destabilize, unsettle, overthrow, and overturn. Bribery causes brothers to despise brothers to get what one wants on his own time and his own will. It undermines trust in Yahweh to provide. In Exodus 18:21, he says, "Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens." Job 15:34, "For the company of the godless is barren, and fire consumes the tents of bribery." This country is run by bribery. Be careful not to get caught up in bribery, because many, many churches are run by sneaky bribery. Job 15:34, Psalms 119:36. "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain." Proverbs 28:16, "A ruler who lacks understanding is a cruel oppressor, but he who hates unjust gain will prolong his days." Exodus 23:8, "And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of those who are in the right." Proverbs 17:23, "The wicked accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the ways of justice." 1 Corinthians 6:9, "Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be careful what you do, for there is no injustice with the Lord our God, or partiality taking bribes." Isaiah 5:22-23, "Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of his right." Whether we like it or not, we accept a little bribe, whether we see it or not, we trample somebody underfoot. Everybody to get what they want that accepts a bribe tramples somebody else to get it. They don't trust in Yahweh to the fullest. Maybe they think they do, but there's something that we need to study and seek out. Isaiah 5:22-23, "Woe to those who are..." I read that one. Judges 16:4-5, "After this he loved a woman..." We're talking about Samson. "After this he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Seduce him and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." See that? Bribery. 1 Samuel 8:1-3, "When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba, yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice." Mark 14:10-11, I got two more. "Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, and he sought an opportunity to betray him." Even his own master. Master Yeshua. James 3:16, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice." And there's so much more to go into, but that bribery, when I read into that, and they got a lot more in that Torah portion that talks about it too. So this last Torah portion, you might want to go back and check out what bribery is and start looking up all those scriptures, because we may have a little bit of stuff we got to work on here that we might, hey, the trumpet sounded, boom, and we done committed bribery thinking that we're okay. We might have sold somebody out by just a little whisper, hey, I'll take that trip, forget brother so-and-so. You see what I'm saying? You'll sell somebody else to fill your pocket when if you just would have waited, the Father has something already lined up for you. Don't sell your brothers and sisters out. You see what I'm saying? So we all been guilty of this. We all need to work on these things. So a little leaven, leaven the whole lump. That's all I got. You got anything, Pastor?